Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and we hope it's treating you good for this May 23rd, 2023, 8:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning. Good morning.
We are joined right now by our good friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning over there.
Good morning. Michael Carey here once again.
Michael, how you been?
Doing just great.
Good to hear. Good to hear. What has Mother Nature got in store for us?
Well, still nice and warm out there for today. We'll see that hazy sunshine once again. We're headed up into the lower range of the 80s for highs by this afternoon, so close to 10 degrees above average for this time of year. Our wind's still looking to stay pretty light for today out of the south and southwest at less than 10 miles per hour. Then for tonight, partly cloudy skies, overnight lows dropping back into the lower 50s. A much cooler day then in store for your Wednesday as a cold front looks to work in from the north. Most of us looking to stay dry. We could maybe squeeze out a very spotty light shower or sprinkle around the midday for tomorrow, but that's about it as far as any precipitation really for the remainder of this work week. Wednesday, we're back to a cooler high of 63 degrees, along with some breezy east winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Full-on sunshine, then making a return for your Thursday with upper 60s for high temperatures, continuing to warm into your Friday, returning to the lower 70s for highs, and that warmer weather still with us, thankfully, into your upcoming Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, lots of sunshine, headed up to a high of 78, and even some lower 80s for highs both Sunday and into your Memorial Day Monday. Still not seeing any precipitation chances for your weekend, so looking great for any outdoor plans. In the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Michael Carroll.
Appreciate that, Michael. Especially, I was just going to cut your mic off as soon as you, the first seconds where you said it was going to be sunny. I was like, okay, we'll just cut our losses and go right there.
But it sounds good.
It was a whole good, the whole forecast was good. So we'll keep it. Thank you, Michael. We appreciate you. You have a great day.
You too. Have a good one.
Good. Best in the business, our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center there. No, all business.
Beautiful forecast, though. Beautiful.
It is looking good even into next week. That is going to be nice. We've earned that. We've earned it.
Yeah.
424-2600. I'm opening up the phone lines again because we want to hear from you. Not only are we looking for the worst band names of all time, we want to hear the worst band names.
Just don't ask James his.
Yes. I'll get on the soapbox. but we're getting into another one here. I want zoo stories.
Oh, yeah.
I want zoo
yeah.
stories. Want to know your favorite animals to see at the zoo, even your favorite zoos, all of the above. This is good info if you to have for your next zoo visit. Now you can focus on animals that appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to go see them. A study in England looked at which animals seem to like it when we visit the zoo and which ones don't. It included more than 250 different species, and in general, they found most don't seem to care much either way. But the ones that might like seeing us the most are... elephants.
Really? I was going to say monkeys.
I thought monkeys. I thought penguins. There's a couple of them there, but I didn't think of elephants right away. Lions. Lions are another one, although lions oftentimes seem like they're just kind of bored with their setting like and everything. And yeah, they were more so elephants. They were more active and seemed less bored when big groups of people were around. A few more that seem to enjoy our company include penguins,
nice.
Of course, because penguins rock, cheetahs, prairie dogs, cockatoos, grizzly bears, and polar bears. Although that may just be, you know, it was close to lunch. I don't know about that. So which animals secretly dislike us?
Ooh.
Number one on the list might be ostriches. They didn't seem to like it when people were around. More animals you might not want to invite to dinner include reptiles, hedgehogs, marsupials, like kangaroos. The researchers say try to not to hold it against them, though. One point of the study was to see if different enclosures could make animals more comfortable, so some have better living conditions than others.
There's
a lot of conversation that can be had about that, certainly, you know, about animals being in zoos and all these things. I mean, if you guys want to talk about that, you can call up and we'll talk about it. But for right now, I'm going in a different direction.
Well, when you said prairie dogs, that reminded me of a zoo that we used to go to when I was little, and I don't even remember now where it was, and I can't ask my mom. I remember the prairie dog enclosure because it was like not very tall, and me as a little kid, like I could see into it standing on the ground, and you could feed them. you could feed them right there on the, they had dispensers, you put a quarter in, and then you could feed them.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Let's go ahead and take a phone call here. Good morning, you're on the show.
Good morning, James. I was a school bus driver in Racine for many years, and I took several groups, not every year, but to Brookfield Zoo in Chicago.
Oh.
That was the most awesome. That was the most awesome zoo around, I think. Yeah,
I am. That is really cool, and you just hit my heart there, because that's the first field trip I ever took was a Brookfield Zoo. It's my favorite zoo in the world, just because of that, the nostalgia and everything. It's also a great zoo. Wow, that is really cool. That is really cool.
And
to hear,
that
sir.
You drove school bus.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you for doing that.
I got in for free. Yeah.
There you go.
Not perk, a gig. Perk of the job.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate
yes,
the time.
Thanks
thank
for calling.
You. That was a good call. That was good.
Awesome.
424-2600. Please feel free to call up and join the conversation. Lincoln Park Zoo is a very popular one in Chicago. A lot of people go to. But for me and a lot of my generation, Brookfield Zoo was it. It was where I discovered penguins. It was where I saw them for the first time in real life and fell in love with them and all that and everything. And
did they have the domes in Chicago? Is that where they have the big domes?
They do in Chicago, in the city.
Because that's the only thing that I've seen in Chicago. We would go to the Milwaukee Zoo as a school trip when I was a kid. But I just, that prairie dog enclosure now, I can't get it out of my brain. I got to figure out where that zoo is so I can go back and see if it's still there. Because it was just tiny. It was just a few little things, and they were like Wisconsin animals.
It was, I want to say, Wausau or Marshfield, there was a zoo exactly like the one you're talking about. I don't know if it was the same one, but it sounds awfully familiar that we took to my kids to a couple of times. Mm. And they had the prairie dog enclosure, because I'd never seen anything like that before.
Where you could just like throw the food right in. It just had like this little fence around it.
Yeah, it was really cool. And JC, my son, loved it. Really couldn't get enough of it or anything.
Prairie dogs are cool.
They are really cool. They got a lot of personality.
But when you said they like people, I'm like, well, is it because we feed them?
Exactly. Well, people, I love dogs. I love dogs. Mm-hmm. And I think they're one of the most loyal things under the sun. They are incredible. We give them treats. and it is part of the reason why they always come back to us.
Yeah.
A dog is smart. A dog is a lot smarter than we give it credit for. It knows where its bread is buttered.
Mm.
It knows where...
Indeed.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. I think there might be a little bit to some of this with that. I really love the idea with the elephants, this study had this about elephants, and I think it just adds more credence to that about our what we mythize with elephants.
Elephants are incredible, incredible beings. I mean, they never forget.
The
stories that we have about them are...
Elephant graveyards and those things. The empathy that the animal has, the way that they will carry a fallen elephant to a graveyard hundreds and hundreds of miles away.
Like, the way they protect their young and each other.
Really magnificent animals, and it's not too surprising to think that they would be the ones to give us, a little bit of a heads up about this, that they want to see us. I'm a little surprised to not see like big cats on here, like jaguars, tigers, lions. I've been to a lot of zoos, and it seems like everyone I go to, they're bored. they're bored, and they're very bored with us, like people, like they just don't care.
Well, to be fair, aren't big cats also nocturnal?
Yes.
And we're there during the day?
Yes.
So,
that's a big part of it.
I mean, if somebody was coming through your house at night to say hi to you, I think you'd probably pretty standoffish too.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you were awake.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I will say one of my favorite things is, especially if you're at a zoo in like the middle of the day or it's not too busy or anything, and then you hear the lion roar and you can hear it in the whole
place.
I don't care what zoo it is. Another little side shout out to those in the Wisconsin Dells area, or if you're visiting the Dells this summer, which I imagine quite a few people will be.
Mm-hmm.
There is a safari zoo just tucked away right in the main drag. And you go, it may not look like much, but you go in and it's huge. It's humongous.
Yeah, I've driven past it, but I've never been inside.
I got to ride a camel. I rode a camel. It was awesome. Yeah, it was fun. It was very cool. That camel was awesome. It was a very cool camel. I would have taken it home with me. It was a very cool. We bonded. We had a good friend, good time.
A nice moment.
It is such a cool zoo. There's so many of these great things out there. And look, even if you're not a huge animal lover, it is one something to do that is not that expensive.
So, great thing to take kids to.
And there aren't as many things that are a better investment with your money and your time than zoos and helping them out and keeping them alive and keeping them going and everything. And to Melissa's point, kids love zoos and it's not that expensive and everything. So not only are you giving yourself and the kids something to do, but you're putting an investment into a nonprofit, basically.
And animals.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a pretty cool
keeping
thing to be able to
around.
Do. So we'll keep this story open, though. I want more zoo stories, 424-2600. Mm-hmm. We'll keep this.
Yes,
we'll,
thank you for calling in.
Keep these roving questions going through the show. For now, let's go ahead and take a quick commercial break. We'll come back with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. It's time for Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club, one of our favorite parts of the day where we get to celebrate you and talk about our good friends over at Misty's Menu. If you are hungry, treat yourself. Head on over to Misty's right now. They're open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids.
How did you forget that?
I've never forgotten it before. Yeah. I apologize for that.
You were writing.
Please encourage everybody to get on over to Misty's. Wish them a great day from all of us here at WFHR.
And get yourself some great food.
Do it, everybody. Get on over there. Mm-hmm. Get that food and enjoy. Enjoy, have some fun, and we encourage you to do that. So let's go ahead and dive right in. First up, I want to remind everybody to get us your birthdays and anniversaries. Send them to info@WFHR.com or james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. You can also direct message us on Facebook. That's another great way to get all of these things to us. Please do. And it's also a great way to send us your feedback. Always appreciate you guys doing that. Let's go ahead, and we just got one name on the list today.
All right.
Mr. Travis Johnson.
Happy birthday, Travis.
Travis, enjoy your day. We hope it's a good one for you. And thank you to whoever got us your birthday and anniversary birthday here. We appreciate that.
You are our qualifier.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and take a look at our celebrity list real quick. Ryan Coogler is 37, director of Black Panther and the Creed movies.
Ah, okay.
He's a very good director. Very acclaimed director, too. And one of those guys who is going to be working for a long time.
He's only 37.
And he has got such a good list already. One of the things that they look for so much in Hollywood is to make darn sure that they are going to have a hit here. That they know that they're going to have somebody that is going to be able to bring them a box office hit or something. And with this, with a Ryan Coogler, you have that. You have somebody who is easily able to do that. So I think that's pretty work guarantee.
Yeah.
Kelly Monaco is 47, soap opera star who won the first Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
Seen her many times before. That voice you hear right there is Jewel, and she is 49 today.
Really?
Alaska's own.
Wow. Another
doctor's bill, a lawyer. I love her style.
Mm-hmm.
She has a bit of a yodel kind of style to her.
It's very unique. We'll save your souls when
it comes to the flowers now. Such a good first album.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really good first album. Yeah, quite an interesting story she's had, too.
Yeah, I love her music. I've definitely... It's a kind of a go-to at karaoke because I'm familiar with quite a few of her songs.
Interesting. I'm glad to know this. I'm surprised I didn't realize that already. Huh, yeah. That's a good one. Ken Jennings is 49. He won 74 straight episodes of Jeopardy, earning him more than $2.5
million. Wow.
He is also currently helping host. He's a co-host on Jeopardy and everything. And I think a lot of people are kind of hoping that... He's going to be the permanent host.
Really?
Yeah. That he's just...
He's good at it?
I haven't... Honestly, I don't want to say because I haven't seen him.
Okay.
I imagine he... For what, the little bit that I've heard, he sounds like he's doing a great job, yes. But I don't know... I can't say because I haven't seen him if he is doing a good job.
Hmm. Well, but who could replace Alex Trebek? You know?
Well, that's the catch, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're never going to be able to top that one.
No.
So... Maxwell is 50, R&B singer, songwriter, Pretty Wings, The Woman's Work, Whenever, Wherever, Whatever. Good one. He's a good artist.
That's a Shakira song.
What?
Whenever. That last one you said.
Whenever, Wherever, Whatever.
It's very similar.
Okay, yeah, because that was his big hit.
Okay.
That was that was his first single, I believe. Phil Selloway is 56, drummer for Radiohead, amazing drummer, very, very good drummer.
Mm.
The Al Pacino of voice acting, my favorite voice actor of all time, Mr. H. John Benjamin is 57 today. The voice of Bob from Bob's Burgers,
okay.
Of Sterling from Sterling of Archer, the Arby's, we have the meats commercials and stuff, I mean...
He's got a good voice.
Oh, I love his voice so much. He's so good. I've been following his career for a very, very long time.
Did you watch Lucy, the Daughter of the Devil?
I'm glad you asked. Yes, I did. I saw every single episode. It was actually his big break was that.
Oh, really?
And it was one of the early shows on Adult Swim. Also, interestingly, it was the big break for Brandon Small and Lorraine Bouchard.
Mm.
Brandon Small would go on to do home movies, would go on to do Metalocalypse and a bunch of other stuff. Lorraine Bouchard would go on to do a couple of other shows, including Bob's Burgers.
Okay.
Where she would, you know, work with H. Sean Benjamin
again
and everything.
Hmm.
He was the one that, the difference of Bob's Burgers and every other animated show you hear, and a little similar with Archer too, but specifically with Bob's Burgers, and this really starts with John, with Benjamin here. His idea was, well, it just doesn't sound the same if we're not in the same room.
Mm.
What if you give us a chance to be in the room together, give us an outline, we can improv, we can come up with some stuff.
Right.
And I promise you, if you watch an episode of Bob's Burgers, your favorite part is going to be the dialogue. It's going to be just the little, and it's all, so much of it is they're interacting just as comedians. You got five great comedians in the room doing this stuff, and he's the ringleader of them all. Christian Schaal's amazing too, but H. John Benjamin, just an amazing actor.
Well, there's a lot of spots in things that happen in movies that are people's favorite part that were never scripted.
Yes.
Were just the actors coming up with something on the fly.
It's
improving in the moment, and it becomes an icon of the movie.
There's so many good ones like that, where it's it's one of my favorite things, and I go into, I almost went down a rabbit hole right there with you and was about to start rambling about all those. But I digress. We should get back to the task
birthdays.
I had.
Birthdays.
Melissa McBride is 58. Carol on The Walking Dead. Incredible work by her. She did a great job with that character, and the arc of that character is really amazing.
Never watched that show. Doesn't really interest me, but...
Don't blame you. I don't blame anybody for that one. It probably should have ended like five seasons earlier, but yeah. Drew Carey is 65.
Really?
The Price is Right host. He's also hosted the original run of Whose Line Is It Anyway in the late 90s.
That's where I prefer watching him.
I'm definitely a fan. Definitely a fan of
Mr. Carey. Oh, he's sporting a beard now. That's an interesting look.
I didn't see that yet. I haven't seen him with a beard. Interesting.
Huh. He looks very,
Oh, yeah. He doesn't look the same.
Debonair.
He does. He looks like he looks like a rich villain at the end of like a
Bond movie,
yes,
or something.
Or not even like an orphan, like a, you know, the guy who wants to tear down the orphanage or something. Kind of looks like that. He looks a little like that.
The anti-Daddy Warbucks.
Yeah. Yeah. But he seems like such a fun guy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
see. And the points don't mean anything.
Oh, I love that line. It's a good line. Mitch Albom is 65, Detroit sports writer who made a fortune from his books Tuesdays with Maury and The Five People You Meet in Heaven and The Next Person You Meet in Heaven.
Hmm.
Really good writer. Very good writer. Joan Collins is 90. Alexis Carrington on the original Dynasty.
Wow.
And Joan Collins. Man, got to give it up for Joan Collins.
You said 90?
90 for Joan Collins.
90.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's see here, and some people no longer with us, like Charles Kimbrough would have been 87 today, born in 1936. He was Jim Dial on Murphy Brown.
Oh.
He was so great on that show. I loved Jim on that show. God, I liked him on that show. He was so good. Just the stiff kind of. He was basically if the eagle from the Muppet Show had come to life.
Like,
I'm the normal broadcaster. I'm the straight laced broadcaster. He did such a good job with it too.
That's a show I would really like to watch from start to finish, because I've caught a few episodes, and Candace Bergen is so amazing.
It holds up.
And that's one I would like to watch.
It was a great show. Her relationship with her painter. There's so many great great parts of that show. Mm-hmm. Really great characters, great actors, great writing. Marvelous Marvin Hagler, one of the greatest names in sports history. Boxing legend from the 80s who liked the Marvelous nickname so much that he legally added it to his name.
Wow.
He retired after losing the title in a split decision to Sugar Ray Leonard in 87, one of my dad's favorite fights of all time. My dad flipping out over Sugar Ray. Love Sugar Ray. And one of the greats, Scatman Crothers, was born on this day in 1910, passed away in 1986. Most people know him as Dick Hallerman on The Shining. He was Louis the Garbage Man on Chico and the Man. He was the voice of Hong Kong Phooey.
Really?
I don't think a lot of people knew that one, yeah. He was the voice song. Scatman Crothers, also maybe the greatest name in acting history.
Benjamin Sherman Crothers, known as Scatman Crothers.
Such a good name.
Such a good name.
Man. I guarantee you, if that was my name, I'd have had a career by now. I'm joking. I'm just kidding. And one more we have to acknowledge. Franz Anton Mesmer.
Who's that?
Does that sound a little familiar? Well, because he was born in 1734, passed away in 1815. He was a hypnosis pioneer. The word mesmerized comes from his name.
Really?
Kind of interesting.
Man behind the word mesmerize.
I'd never heard of that before.
I hadn't either.
That was a new one to me. I thought that was pretty interesting.
All right. Well, thank you, Franz, for the word mesmerize.
And thank you to whoever got us Travis's name. We appreciate you getting us Travis's name. A big shout out and a happy birthday to Travis Johnson one more time.
Happy birthday, Travis.
You're our qualifier. And remember to get us more birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. Send it to info@WFHR.com, or you can send it to me, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. You can, of course, direct message us on Facebook as well, just like our Facebook page. Direct message us all your birthdays and anniversaries.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go ahead and let Jewel play us out here a little bit. But we encourage you to head on over to Misty's. Treat yourself. Get on over there. They're open 6 to 2, 7 days a week, in 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. Stick around for Melissa's News right here on WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show, everyone. Locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. I got to talk to Seth about this one. That is good. I like having that in there. That is hilarious. They are not playing basketball in L.A. Not anymore.
No.
Denver moving on. They looks like they're going to be playing Miami. Denver, Miami for the NBA Finals. Looks like that's what it's going to be. Looks like it. We got to get into this one, Melissa. I think I have here the solution to two big problems.
Okay.
Potholes and dirty diapers.
Whoa.
I think we can solve both within one thing here.
Okay.
Scientists, have you ever thought about what to do with all those major loads that your kids put out there and all that stuff and everything? Well, we have an idea. Scientists have thought of what to do with it.
Okay.
And they're thinking bigger than just odor-free disposal. Researchers in Japan say sanitized disposable diapers can be incorporated into concrete and mortar, which could be used to build homes. And fill in potholes and things like that.
Okay.
Diapers can be substituted for the, quote, fine aggregates that are normally used in concrete to varying degrees. Mortar for structural uses, like load-bearing walls and a road pavement, could only tolerate about 10% added diaper material. But mortar and concrete for non-structural uses, like wall partitions and low-impact floor pavers, could tolerate being up to 40% diapers.
Whoa.
The idea is that it's taking care of two things at once. First off, I hate the phrase "killing two birds with one stone."
Right.
We got to get rid of that phrase.
Yeah.
Got to get rid of that phrase. Two things at once. You could say two things at once. Finding a use for non-degradable waste and dealing with a declining supply of building materials. Most used diapers now are just incinerated,
right,
which obviously is hurting our environment as well.
On so many levels.
So I just first up, a big shout out to science for trying to figure some things out, solve some problems. Just trying.
Yeah.
Thank you for at least somebody is caring about this stuff and working on this stuff.
And we also realize the fact that, you know, parents are busy. Parents have so much on their plates. Disposable diapers are so convenient.
Yeah.
They are so convenient. And yes, while cloth diapers are better for the environment, and I get all that, we're never going to get rid of disposable diapers.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
But this is a phenomenal idea, as repulsive as it sounds.
Yes, yes.
I'm glad they included the sanitizing part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was nice of them to do that, for
sure. Well, because you don't want to live in, well, my house is built with 40% diapers.
Yes,
what?
Yes. that's not going to help anybody.
No.
I don't know a whole lot of people that are probably going to want to, do something
boast
like that.
Boast about that? I think it's a really good thing, though, because it's definitely...
I'm sorry. That is a perfect terminology, boast about it, because I immediately started thinking of my friends and stuff. You know, my house is made of half diapers. That's a great one.
Half used diapers.
Half used diapers, yeah.
I mean, they're fully used diapers that are half now into my house. Wait, none of those work.
Oh, boy. There's just no way around that one. But it... no pun intended. I'm willing to try anything here.
Yes. We have a very much, very big problem with waste in the world, but also in this country. We're running out of landfill space to put stuff, and landfills are, you know, difficult to reincorporate back into use.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they sit there for how many years before?
We got too many materials like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we know now that we have enough knowledge to understand we could be making things better.
Yes.
We can be making things better for the future, better for the environment and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's no excuses anymore. You can miss me with the prices of things. Oh, it's going to cost this. Oh, it's going to cost that. What have we been dealing with? Like, do we not learn anything here? If we kick the can down the road, do you think it's going to be cheaper? Do you think the problem gets cheaper? Like, no, obviously not. And the idea of leaving it for the next generation or whatever, I got news for you, everybody. We're living a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
We are living a lot longer as a species. So you might want to start caring a little bit more about things, because you're probably going to be around a lot longer than you realize. And that's a good thing. But we also got to have a planet to be able to, you know, enjoy that on. Mm-hmm. It's not going to matter if we live to 90 or 100 or whatever if there's no planet.
Right.
And this stuff matters. This stuff adds to, hopefully, us having a better environment and those things.
Yeah, and putting less waste in where it's not usable. I mean, we need to capture as much energy as we can. There are landfills where now they're capturing the off-gassing and then reutilizing it into their electric grid.
I talk about this a lot. I don't ever want to miss an opportunity to build the confidence in a young person.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we need to do that. It's part of our job as adults, not just with our own kids, but kids in general. We should be building them up. I'm not saying with false stuff or anything like that.
No.
Everybody gets a trophy day kind of thing. I mean, with things that they do, if you pay attention to kids, they'll give you stuff that, oh, hey, you're doing a good job there. Holy, that's great.
Or you're interested in this? Here's more knowledge about it.
And how great would it be for kids to be able to look at every one of us and say, that dirty diaper, that just saved the environment. I just helped you out there. Every dirty diaper I make, I'm helping the environment. You're welcome, society. You're welcome. Look at what babies can do. What babies can do. That was pretty bad. Take a break. Come back. We'll have some more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.
It's been 1 week. You looked at me, cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days, who laughed at me and said, get that together, come back.
Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here, and I'm not going to say anything bad about the Bare Naked Ladies. I'm not going to get them mad at me, their fan base. I'm not going to say that they're overrated. I'm not going to... No, I'm just going to stop. I'm just going to stop. I'm just going to keep playing it as long as you sing along. I love hearing you sing, so I'm just going to keep going. I'm gonna,
I don't remember all the words, but I used to love singing that song.
So, Oregon released its annual list of cities with the most mosquitoes. Let's see what they came up with. Oregon is posting this, putting it all over there. And the number one city for worst for mosquitoes for the third year in a row is Los Angeles, California.
Really?
Yeah. Before that, Atlanta was number one for seven consecutive years.
Ooh.
Each city Orkin ranks the each year Orkin ranks the top 50 cities for mosquitoes by looking at how many people had to use exterminators for treatments over the past 12 months. The rest of the top 10 are Chicago, New York City, Atlanta, Dallas, Washington D.C., Philly, Detroit, Houston, and Charlotte.
Well, they're pretty much all over.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, good luck avoiding any of those, any of this, really.
Mosquitoes in general, they're pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Now, there's certainly, you know, bug repellents and things like that you can use. It's not.
Yeah, and you can get your yard treated and all of those things. The best way that I found to deal with it is, of course, just to avoid having standing water on your property.
Yes.
And I had a rain barrel at my mom's house, and I got goldfish that I put in there, and they would eat the mosquito larva.
That's really cool. Yeah. I don't want to know what happened to the goldfish in winter. I don't want to
know. I tried to save them.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, it didn't work out.
And look.
Wasn't my fault.
The goldfish community is calling. They want answers. Minneapolis ranked 21st on this list. Grand Rapids came in at 23rd. Let's see here. Milwaukee came in at 32. Not bad. Not bad. Let's see here. Now, Madison is not on here. Madison is not on the list. That is interesting. Usually, Madison, Milwaukee, you can always count on somewhere on this list. I don't see Madison anywhere.
Interesting.
Very. Weird that they would have Milwaukee and not Madison. But, you know, regardless, maybe Madison didn't even make the top 50 as far as mosquitoes problems.
Possible.
I will say, if you are in Madison, I bet you have an argument with that.
We got mosquitoes. I don't know what you're talking about.
What about some tips to repel and prevent mosquito bites?
Sure.
Stop being so dang attractive, everybody. This is all your... Now, look, beautiful people out there and everything, but stop being so dang attractive and they'll leave... No, that is not on this list. Their actual recommendations are wear loose-fitting, long-sleeved shirts and long pants, like we all love to do in the summer.
Right. You know, when it's super hot. Yes. Although it is better for you to be protected from the sun and the mosquitoes.
Yes. Apply an EPA-registered mosquito repellent containing products such as DEET or Picadarian. DEET and Picadarian, we need more things that sound like that. That's fun. I like those words.
They are, but they're chemicals.
Yeah. Here you go, Melissa. Eliminate standing water in bird feeders, water bowls for pets, potted plants, wading pools, and other children's toys. It's a great point of yours, Ben. Regularly clean debris and gutters that provide moisture and harborage. So that's another one to keep in mind. And keep in mind, this article came to us from Orkin.
Yep.
Something else to keep in mind. Nothing against Orkin. We welcome their dollars if they would love to advertise with us.
Oh, sure.
But, yeah, anytime any of these companies, you know, are telling, if you know, one of the car insurance companies comes out and tells you where the worst car accidents are by city, it doesn't mean that it's bad data, but I think you have to take it into consideration.
Right. Where the data's coming from.
It's no different than what we talk about all the time with politicians. You know, hey, well, this politician seems to be really in favor of this.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just do a little bit of digging and see who's in their pocket.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that person
who's donating money to them.
Yeah.
There are some natural mosquito repellents in plants that you can plant around your property. Quick Google search, catnip, lemongrass, peppermint, garlic, basil, lavender, rosemary, lemon balm, thyme, marigold, eucalyptus.
Did you say thyme?
I did.
Yeah.
Citronella. I mean, those we know, the citronella candles you can get to burn on your your deck when you're outside. Tea tree oil, cinnamon. So there's lots of natural mosquito repellents. I know that Family Natural Foods sells a spray or a roll-on repellent that you can get. And those essential oil ones, you don't put them over your whole body like you do with DEET. You put it, some of them have like a little bracelet that you can wear that you put it on, or you can just put it on your pulse points and naturally repel mosquitoes that way.
That's one of those ones that I want to look into a little bit more. That sounds interesting. 424-2600. Remember, we're looking for worst band names you ever heard, zoo stories, all of that. Call up and join the conversation, everybody. Before we get into our next topic, I did want to let everybody know that we are going to be joined in the 9 o'clock hour by some new friends. We have the Rough Ranch joining us.
Hey!
Great local business over on Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids here. We're going to talk with them a little bit and about Petpalooza, the big WFHR event we have coming up next month with our friends from the Southwood County Humane Society.
Awesome.
We'll be talking about that in the 9 o'clock hour. For right now, let's dive into this, or drive into this, if you will. One of the few positives from the pandemic was having way fewer cars on the road. But those days are over. If you're planning to take a trip for Memorial Day weekend, brace yourself for busy airports and roads.
Yes.
AAA says that this Memorial Day weekend, 42.3 million Americans are expected to travel at least 50 miles. That is up 7% from last year.
Wow.
3.4 million people are expected to fly, which is up 11% from last year. And AAA says, quote, this Memorial Day could be the busiest at airports since 2005. If you're driving, they also released the best times to hit the road. Naturally, the busiest times are when you would also like to go.
Friday.
On Thursday and Friday, the best times to travel by car are before noon, while the times to avoid are between 3 and 6 p.m.
Yes.
So one more time, Thursday and Friday, best time to travel by car is before noon. Want to avoid between 3 and 6.
Yeah, busy hours anyway, and then that's when people get off work, pack up the car, and try to get to their destination.
Traffic should be lighter on Saturday and Sunday, but Monday will also be crazy. The worst time is midday Monday, while the best time to be on the road is early morning before 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Gas prices are way down compared to last year, so more people will be traveling than in 2022. But AAA says that the total number of travelers is expected to fall short of Memorial Day's 2019 pre-pandemic. So we are still not at that average, that cusp where we were before the pandemic. Again, 424-2600. You guys got any plans for Memorial Day? Want to tell us about them? We'd love to hear.
Nice.
And I'm not just bringing that up because I need ideas for no, I'm joking. No, I think it'd be fun. We'd love to hear what you guys are up to for Memorial Day.
Well, and if you're only traveling 50 miles, for most of us, that means you're traveling somewhere in the state.
Yeah.
And we love to hear about awesome places to travel within our state.
Agreed.
Our plans are to head up to Chautauqua.
Oh, nice.
We're going up there, and they do like this Liney's bar tour where you get to go and you have to, it's a card you get punched for buying a Liney's at these certain bars. And then when you get all of your things punched, you get a t-shirt.
Yeah.
So
we
got a designated driver and we're just going to bar hop all day Saturday.
That's cool. That is cool.
I've heard the shirt is cool this year. It's like a pretty teal color with yellow lettering on it.
Oh, nice.
Last year's was orange, James.
Hey, I should have been there last year. That is cool. Oh, that is going to be fun. Tuesday, we got to hear how that is. Speaking of which, I did want to let the audience know that our normal stuff that we have on Mondays are going to be moved to Tuesdays. We'll figure out if the kitchen's open and moves or not or whatever. That'll be up to you. We'll roll with whatever.
We'll talk about that out
there. Yeah. But as far as Playmakers, that will be moved to Tuesday.
Sweet.
So Playmakers will be on next Tuesday. Be sure to join us for that, because, of course, Monday our staff has off.
Mm-hmm.
We won't have any of our live original content with you. And we will have, though, live radio, because we have Rafters baseball.
Oh, yeah.
And that is where I'm planning on being on Memorial Day, is
nice.
Helping the Rafters kick off their season by losing my mind in the stands every time there's even a single. Because it's these early games in the season.
Excited.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's a single. It's a double. And I'm like freaking out like you just won the game. Like, it's an exciting time. We encourage you to meet us at the ballpark at Winterfield this Monday for Rafter baseball as they take on the Lakeshore Chinooks and kick off another another great season here with the Rafters and WFHR. So we have been partners since the Rafters were incepted.
Awesome.
Love being proud of that. We love carrying our Rafter baseball. as far as the traveling thing goes, though, I'm curious to hear from our audience how many people are traveling. Even if you're not traveling, I still want to hear what you're up to. I think it'd still be fun to talk about.
A picnic planned, or if you're going to hit the beaches. The beaches open on Friday here in Wood County.
Mm-hmm.
So they will all be open, and you can head down and check out the waters.
We're going farther and farther with a lot of the 3D printing we're able to do.
Oh, yeah.
It feels like every week we're hearing about another revolutionary thing. Like I know that this news came out a while ago, but I was finally able to read up on the ear implants that they're able to do nowadays. And people in like third world countries, like a doctor could diagnose you on Zoom and design this thing, and the 3D printer over there can build it, and then they can use it.
Wow.
Incredible.
That's incredible.
It's remarkable what these things are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And this may be as far as I've thought that it could go. Researchers have been pushing the limits of 3D printing for decades, using the manufacturing technique to churn out consumer goods such as furniture and shoes and human organs and even a rocket. But can the industrial technology be applied to make a fully baked dessert that can be fabricated into your own kitchen, your home kitchen?
What?
Engineers at Columbia University set out to do just that. A team whipped up a 7-ingredient vegan cheesecake that was assembled and cooked entirely by a 3D printing machine and, in a new innovation, laser technology, according to a study published a couple weeks ago out of the Journal of NPJ Science of Food. The experiment was a step towards developing practical uses for 3D printing and mechanically assembled food, the researcher said. The machines needed to create and bake a 3D printed dessert that already exists, at least in a Columbia Engineers New York laboratory. But there are not yet troves of cookbooks out there spelling out how the tech can be applied. I don't know if they're going to be making creme brulee or anything like that anytime soon. But man, is this interesting.
I love the fact that it's something I can eat.
A vegan
cheesecake.
Using 3D printing, also called additive manufacturing, to create food isn't a new concept. There is a company using the technology to make plant-based steak, and pop-up restaurants offer meals produced entirely by 3D printers.
Mm.
One startup makes 3D printer sugars, and its parent company produces machines for other entrepreneurs.
And there's another company that is printing steak from cultured cells. So it's actual meat.
Wow.
Yeah.
It doesn't look very good. I'm going to tell you that right now. Like, this cake does not look very good to me.
It's like something you would make out of Play-Doh.
Yeah.
And in layers.
But I'll say this, if you
is
are...
Is that pink frosting?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay.
I do like pink frosting, I'll say that. If you're in a struggling country, if you're in a country struggling for food, you'll eat that.
Oh.
And it's perfectly fine. I
would eat it now.
I would eat it myself, too. I just as far as, like, the appearance, I don't think you're caring too much about appearance. Speaking as a poor person, I will say yes, or was at least.
You know, there was a period of time when I was a teenager that I really wanted to just have a machine that would plop out something into a cup that would be good for me, nutritious, and taste good. I didn't care what it looked like. I didn't care if it was, you've had to just drink it or eat it with a spoon, but if it provided all the nutrients I wanted and it was satisfying, that's what I would have gone with. Yeah. Like, just fix the food problem for me. Give me something that's good for me.
We're so close. We're so close to being in your utopia.
And they're trying to make it look like food at this point.
And what stands out about Columbia Engineering's research is that it uses lasers to cook the food as it prints.
Oh. Like,
it's just, so you have the heat source. So you have the, just
as
incredible.
It's printing.
Really incredible.
It's something definitely to keep an eye on. Like when I was researching into that cell cultured meat, I was very impressed to find that they're 3D printing it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that so that it looks like, that's why they're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Because they could make it without the 3D printing part. But that is in itself is just really cool.
Pretty interesting, pretty cool. We will take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun in the 9 o'clock hour on the morning show right here at
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.